So on this Maundy Thursday evening, Love Thursday, words from the Gospel we've just heard read. During supper, Jesus got up from the table and began to wash the disciples' feet. Have you ever gone into a person's home and sensed an atmosphere? You can sense from the awkward and forced conversation and self-conscious silences that you've just walked in on the end of a row or a disagreement of some kind. Well, in St. Luke's account of the Last Supper, there's a little detail which gives us an insight into the deeper significance of St. John's account of the washing of the feet of the disciples in the Gospel for Maundy Thursday, which we've just heard read. You see, St. Luke tells us that during the Last Supper, I quote, "A dispute also arose among them as to which of them was to be regarded as the greatest." And it's Luke again who gives us the response of Christ to that same dispute around the table of the Last Supper. Jesus says, "The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, but not so with you. Rather," he says, "let the greatest among you become as your youngest, and the leader as the one who serves. For which is greater," says Jesus, "one who sits at table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who sits at table? But I am among you as one who serves." And it was at that very point, as Jesus was sitting at table, that he deliberately doesn't wait to be served, but rises up, symbolically removed his outer garment, tied a towel around himself, and began to wash the grimy, dusty feet of the silent and somewhat disgruntled disciples. Do you see the context of the washing of the disciples' feet? Because in doing this, Jesus, King and Master as he is, and as they rightly called him, nevertheless exemplifies another very different kind of power from the kind of power struggle about which those disciples had been arguing. The disciples exemplify, if you like, the love of power. Jesus reverses this and exemplifies in actions which speak louder than words, the very opposite, the power of love expressed in service. I always wished Mrs. Thatcher had called her autobiography not "The Path to Power," but "The Path to Service." That's what we want from our politicians. That's what we want from our clergy. That's what we want from one another if there is ever to be peace in the world. So Jesus did what no one in that room was prepared to do. They supposed they were above it all. Yet he who was and is above everything and was equal with God his Father, as Paul writes, counted equality with God not as something to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant. You see, Christ, our King, and his kingdom are intended to herald a new world order, turning our worldview head over heels, inverting all those pyramids of imperial power, not least religious imperialism, to demonstrate the lasting power of loving service, in which the last are first and the first are last, as in that song which Mary sang, the Magnificat we've been singing all week here, in which it says, "God puts down the mighty from their seat and exalts the humble and meek." But, the humility Jesus displays and exemplifies is never servile. I hate people who sort of exhibit "humble me," if you know what I mean. Rather, it's true humility. Humility, you know, from the Latin humus, meaning earth, simply means humility, properly understood, simply means being down to earth. That's it. Earth, rooted and grounded in love, and the power of love bearing fruit in the service of others and of God. So what sort of God is this Jesus? If Jesus really is the Christ of God, our Lord, our King, and our Master? No wonder when Jesus returns to the table, Philip, you remember, blurts out. He says, "For God's sake, show us the Father, and that will be sufficient. And then perhaps we can begin to get our heads around this awesome contradiction which you are displaying. Yes, indeed, show us what God is really like. We're very confused when we see you acting like this, Jesus." And Jesus' reply, "Philip, have you been with me so long and still you don't understand? When you look at me, you're seeing the Father. This is the sort of God God is. That's the very reason I've come into the world. That instead of all the caricatures of the God of all the religions, I've come to show you the face of the true God of love and the power of that love, which subverts the world's love of power, whether religious power, political, economic, or whatever. God's power is the power of a love which is stronger and more powerful even than death." So Jesus stoops to conquer. He stoops to conquer, but in order to do this, Jesus comes down to our level in order to raise us up, so that in him and together with him, we may become more than conquerors. I shall always remember a true story told me by a priest friend of mine who was knocked down in Portland, Oregon by a car while she was crossing the road. As she lay on the ground waiting for the paramedics, several people passed by and looked. "Bless you, you're going to be all right. They'll be here soon." Or at least that's what Joan, my priest friend, thought they were saying, because she was somewhat hard of hearing, even at the best of times. But she said the only person who brought her any comfort and strength was an old lady who stopped, knelt down on the wet sidewalk, took her by the hand, and bending close to her ear, said, "You're going to be all right. God loves you." All the religions of the world, you see, stop short precisely at that vital point. Oh yes, God's in his heaven, holy, powerful, untouchable, judge, creator, and almighty, sending prophets and wise men and women to tell us all about himself, giving us the law to love God and neighbor as self, to pray and to worship. But quite frankly, dear friends, that's no earthly use to me when, as they sang, Simon and Garfunkel, when you're down and out and feeling small, when I've fallen, when I'm lost, and when I've failed, withdrawn into myself. What earthly use is that kind of God? A superstar? No. I need a God, and so does our whole world, not least at this moment in time, who, like that woman, comes down to my level, kneels down right beside me, takes me by the hand, and in a word, the incarnate God of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, nothing less. God's word of love, but enfleshed in Jesus, as bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh. Yes, a God who is in the midst of it all, a God who is in the mess of it all, a God who is in the mystery of it all and raises above it all. Not some kind of absentee landlord observing indifferently from a distance across a great divide, but no, a God who comes down to earth from heaven as we sing at Christmas, wrapping me in the folds of that love which he shares with his Father and ours in the Holy Spirit of love. And it's that, you see, which makes the Christian faith unique and which marks the end of religion as the world has known it. For religion is always in danger of recruiting God to serve our human agendas, as opposed to a true and living faith which invites us to place ourselves at the service of God's agendas. Yes, even to the point of washing one another's feet. This Jesus the Christ came down to earth from heaven, down to our level, with that true humility, which is literally down to earth, hands outstretched, intimately drawing close, whispering good news in the ears of our hearts, partly deaf though we are to his voice. The echo of those once for all assuring words of his Father and ours, which Christ first heard at his baptism in the Jordan so long ago, when the voice said, "You are my beloved Son, and I love you." So, can I suggest, let's not leave this upper room tonight until we reclaim the status of our baptism as children of God, until we can picture our Saviour drawing near to you and to me as our brother and friend, kneeling at your feet and mine, feet stained and bruised by life's hazards and tragedies. And let's let it all hang out. For better or worse, let us recall tonight the waters of our baptism being poured out like the water being poured into that bowl in a few moments for the washing of feet. And the echo of that still small voice saying to each one of us, "Michael, you are my beloved son. Mary, you are my beloved daughter. It's all right. I love you, and I will raise you up to be with me together with your Father and mine to that quality of life which is abundant, enriched, and eternal." As we sing, "Thou didst leave thy throne and thy kingly crown when thou camest to earth for me. O come to my heart, Lord Jesus, make room in my heart for thee."